Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, a place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, March 24th, 2014. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in. Tonight we're going to talk about Florida issues. We are going to talk, this is a special report for Florida public policy and voter alert. Now, if you tried to listen earlier, or maybe you even were listening, there were some technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, and I had to restart the show. That's why we're starting a little bit late. Tonight will be a shorter show anyway, because of some other things I have to tend to. I do have a job and all that fun stuff, so I'm going to make this a little bit briefer show than typically on Monday, but I wanted to make sure that I got the information out there in reference to some things coming up with the Florida elections. There's just a lot of things going on here in Florida, and we need to take care of it. And you need to be aware of what's going on. And right now I am signing off on my live chat with the help desk at Blog Talk Radio because they were helping me fix the problem. Okay. Anyway. Tonight, a Florida public policy, I will go ahead and open the chat room, so if you want to join the chat room, it will be there for you in just a minute. But there's so many things going on, and you need to be aware. You need to, some of these things are policies that are going on right now, and other things are things that are coming up on the ballot that you need to be aware of. And on the November ballot, there's going to be an amendment to our state constitution, and it's basically a land grab. You have to vote no to this amendment. Vote no to the amendment, the Florida amendment. All it is giving the state more power to take ownership of more of the land. I would ask the question, and I have asked the question to my senator, Senator Darren Soto, how much land should the state of Florida own? How much, when you think about the whole United States, how much land should the federal government own? How much land should the state own? And based on some information I've been given, right now the state of Florida owns about 50% of all the real estate in Florida, and they want to buy up more. They don't want to fix transportation. They want to buy land. This is what's crazy. So you've got to contact these people and tell them no, and more importantly, make sure you tell everyone you know they better get out and vote no to the amendment, Florida Amendment 1, and this is to do with property rights and the state taking ownership of all the real estate. Absolutely no reason for the state of Florida to own this much real estate. They want to spend billions and billions of dollars of the BP money from the oil spill to buy land. They don't want to fix roads. They don't want to do what we need. They want to buy land. This right there should tell you these people are not working in our best interest. They are not working in behalf of the people. So you have to make sure you get out there and vote no, and you've got to tell everybody vote no. You have to call every one of your senators and representatives, the governor, call everyone, fax them, email them, do whatever you can to be a PIA, and I'm sure you know what PIA stands for. And let them know we're not going to tolerate this stuff. It is inappropriate for the state of Florida to own all the land. Why would they want to own all the land in a free society? They wouldn't. When the state owns the land, obviously it's no longer on the tax rolls for property taxes. I have a lot of questions or issues with property taxes, but that's another story. But when you think about state revenues, all those property taxes, what was being shared across all the property, the real estate, is now condensed to just a few. The state owns more land than the private sector does. And this is why, you know, one more reason why they shouldn't be doing it. But more to the point, it's something wrong when the government, government, wants to own all the land. Why would they want to own all the land? It's one thing to have a series of national parks and state parks and, you know, local parks. There's nothing wrong with that. I think everybody agrees that we do want public spaces like that. But what they're doing with this amendment is way beyond that, way beyond. So vote no on Amendment 1, no to the land grab of the state of Florida. Okay, the other thing, many of you have heard me talk about notary public, notary fraud. Florida, the notaries, it's really, as it stands today, before anything happens, any final votes or whatever else in the Senate or the House, the notary public of Florida really has a license to commit fraud. There's no oversight of these people. As of January of this year, there were 400,432 Florida public notaries. One person in the state of Florida who oversees them, who's supposed to control and whatever. Can't be done. It's not done. There is no control over the Florida notary public of today. Now, there's two bills. I brought this issue because I was the victim of notary fraud myself, with a fraudulent will and a fraudulent rental lease being created against my dead father. I brought this issue to the attention of Senator Darren Soto, and he created Senate Bill 172. And in that bill, it came, it was requiring the notaries to keep a journal and to keep record that they have to have the record, maintain this record for a minimum of 5 years, submit it to the state kind of thing. There's different stipulations. If anything happens to that journal, they have to report it immediately and these types of things. And there probably needs to be a little bit more tightening on that journal, but they have a paper journal, a hard copy bound journal, versus an electronic journal. So there's probably some things we can do to clean up that piece of it, but they do have to have, the whole point is for them to have a journal. Well, right now today, a notary such as Rachel Harvey, DD 989035, she's a resigned notary as of this moment. They can go, you know, the state will write them a letter saying, do you remember if this is your notary seal? And, well, I notarized something. I do know. I don't know for sure. Whatever. And, yeah, I notarized. Well, wait a minute. Did you notarize a will or did you notarize a lease? Well, I don't know. I notarized a lot of documents. I just don't know what they were. I mean, this is the mentality of people creating legal documents that are held to the highest standards or given so much legitimacy in a court, yet these people are reckless like this. And that's what generated all this. Again, I was the victim of the notary fraud. And so, again, there's a Senate bill for this. Well, Channel 9, Todd Ulrich, was doing an investigative report on the notary fraud issue. And as part of, and, you know, he went over my case. I showed him the documents. I showed him this crazy response this notary provided. Competent. I mean, you know, a five-year-old could have written a better letter justifying what they notarized. And then, of course, on a follow-up letter, she refused to respond. And I'll get into a little bit more about what happened there. But as Todd Ulrich was doing the investigation, I mean, notary fraud apparently is very big on the car lots, and it's very big in real estate. He uncovered issues where notaries were selling other people's property, literally selling the house of somebody else to someone and taking the cash and then running. And then through their investigation, they found out how many felons are notaries. Can you imagine you've empowered a person to create or legitimize legal documents such as a last will and testament, deeds for a house, all these types of things, someone selling a house, and, of course, the automobiles, all these kind of, just think of all the legal documents that get notarized. Yet, Florida doesn't care that there's felons doing this. People behind bars doing this. It's unbelievable what's been allowed to happen. So when, and Todd Ulrich brought this to the attention of Darren Soto, Senator Soto, and said, what are you guys going to do about it? And there has been some crackdown. They have gone through and suspended these people. I'd really like to see a full list of what they've really done, who they've suspended, what they've done since the first of the year, because some information that I have doesn't make it look like it's been as quite as much as what has been reported in some cases. But so what are we supposed to be doing with felons being notaries? Empowering felons to do this. It's absolutely crazy. But in the Senate bill, I've been reviewing it, and you can go out to the Florida Senate site, just do a lookup of Senate Bill 172, notaries public, and look at it. I do not see anything in that bill that says anything about any kind of criminal background check or that felons are not allowed. There's simply a question on it that says the legal qualifications of a notary. Let's see if I can find the exact language here. The legal qualifications of a notary, it goes out there and states that it asks the question, have you ever been arrested or charged with a felony? And that's all it does. It just says, oh, have you? Oh, okay, that's nice. I mean, that's really to the extent of what it says. And if you go out to the Florida Senate website and look up the bill, you'll see a part that's called Bill Analysis and Fiscal Impact Statement. And in the overall scheme of things, to go in and incorporate the laws that a journal has to be maintained and these kind of things, there's no fiscal impact. The only fiscal impact will be if they start having more than one person overseeing it, actually doing something about these people. Okay, and on the, and this is exactly where I'm reading this from, Bill Analysis and Fiscal Impact Statement, Florida Senate Bill 172, Legal Qualifications for a Florida Notary's Public. Okay, be at least 18 years of age, be a legal resident of the state and maintain such residency throughout his or her term of the appointment, be able to read, write, and understand the English language, submit an affidavit of good character from an unrelated third party, submit a statement as to whether the applicant has been convicted of a felony, obtain a bond for $7,500 payable to any individual harmed as a result of a breach of the duty by the notary, and provide other information the governor deems necessary. So these two things that are supposed to be the, if you want to call it the background check, which it really isn't, submit an affidavit of good character from a unrelated third party. Well, that doesn't take much. You get anybody to pay to do that. It wouldn't mean anything. Submit a statement as to whether the applicant has been convicted of a felony. And so they say, well, yeah, I have been convicted of a felony. Is that okay? Doesn't say anything here that it's not. They don't seem to have a problem with that. They don't say anything about the stipulation of this person being a felon. It doesn't seem to make any difference to them. So the Senate bill does not address the felons that are public notaries. And, you know, there's different parts of the statute that address misconduct and stuff, but they don't enforce any of this. They don't do squat. And I know this because of what happened in my own case. It was proven to be notary fraud, but they didn't care. There was some indication that one investigator thought that Rachel Harvey, the notary involved here, DD 989035, was duped, that there was an imposter sitting in. She didn't realize the person wasn't there. Well, now we have another statement by another party involved that says something slightly different, that she came over and just notarized a whole bunch of documents and was paid for it. So, but the state has elected to not do anything about this notary. The only thing they did, which is a disgrace, is when she refused to respond to the letters, there was an executive order suspending her commission. However, the executive order said, in lieu of suspension, you can resign. By resigning, it makes it appear that there was no corruption and no problem. That is wrong. That is false information. That is perpetrating a fraud on the people. Because this lady can now go out there and be a notary again, and nobody would ever ask. No questions would be ever asked about what she was involved in here when she was obviously a participant in a fraudulent transaction. She definitely notarized a fraudulent will. The question is, to what extent was she a active, willing participant? The fact that she happened to be friends of the one person and this and that, friends of the daughter of the mother who was doing all this stuff, Sherry Griffin, makes me believe she was a party to it. But the more importantly, there was she was deposed. I've been trying to get a copy of the statement, but the state attorney has not been willing to give that to me so far. And And I'm going to continue to ask for that because I do want to make a formal complaint that no action was taken against this lady, this notary, for what has been proven to be a fraudulent transaction. And there has been no acceptable statement, no written acceptable statement to the state that I've seen. But again, that's what I'm trying to get some information on. But more to the point, is the state was willing to say, oh, don't worry about it. Just because you're involved with a fraudulent last will and testament, that's not important. That's okay. Just go ahead and resign. This way you don't have to be suspended. So we'll do it that way. Yeah. This is what they did. And this is the state, and you want to know why Florida is number one in identity theft? You want to know why Florida is number one in property theft and mortgage fraud? Excuse me. It's all part of it. Anyway, so Senate Bill 172 addresses making the notaries more accountable for their record keeping, which is good, needed to be done, because right now they're not required to keep any records of anything they do. Many do, and I would probably say most do, but they're not required to, not by the state. And but they did nothing. The Senate bill did nothing about the felons. Nothing. Now, the House bill actually did do something about the felons, but then somebody else, let's see if I can see who did it. Let's see. Looks like Representative Peters is the person who submitted the bill. And I'm trying to see who actually removed it. There was a section in the new bill, the House bill, lines 22 through 72, which required criminal background. Did a lot more stricter rules on the application. For somebody to become a notary, much more information had to be there. And let me see if I can find the actual language. And the House bill also has a similar analysis as the Senate. They both go and do an impact statement of here's what the current situation is and here's what's going to happen when we change it. This is the before and after kind of thing. Present situation, then it goes through and takes it, and then it says after effective proposed changes is what it says. And so then it goes into that piece. Now, in fiscal impact and those kind of things, all looking through the net impact, which is what they should do. I mean, that all makes sense to me why they would do that. But in the original bill, they were going out there and saying the, let's see, on lines 22, starting on lines 22 through 72, it goes into much more detail about the, see what line it starts on, where they talk about the notary must be, okay, well, this is the one where they removed it, where a background check would be done on the notary. A background check, criminal background check would be done on the notary, a cost of $15, and that would be taken out of the notary fee. And basically, this was removed from it. This was actually pulled out and said, no, we can't go and do background checks on these people. Gosh, why would we want to do background checks on people who are notarizing things like last will and testaments and these kinds of things? Why would we want to do that? And then there was also additional language added in reference to law firms, who owns the notary. If the person who's a notary works for a law firm, then who owns this journal? And as I was talking to someone about this, they brought it to my attention. They said, well, you know, the notary is a public office. And it doesn't matter whether they're work for an attorney or not. The notary is a public office, and the law office does not have the right to own that document because it's public record. And it's like, yeah, that's actually a very good point. I had not really thought of it that way, but that was true. And let's see here. Here we go. Looking at the original bill. Okay, the original bill starting, again, this all starts on line 22 Appointment application suspension, it goes into this. The application for appointment shall be signed and sworn by the applicant and shall be accompanied by a fee of $25 together with $10 commission fee required. The executive office, okay. Now this is in reference to the commission fees or a lot of charge. Skip over that part. Right here. The oath of office and notary bond required by this section shall also accompany the application and shall be in a form prescribed by the Department of State, which shall require but not be limited to the following information: full name, residence address, telephone, business address, telephone number, date of birth, race, sex, social security number, citizenship status, driver's license number, or number of other official state-issued identification, affidavit of good character from someone unrelated to the application who has also known the application for 1 year or more, a list of all professional licenses, commissions issued by the state during the previous 10 years, and a statement as to whether or not applicant has had such licenses or commissions revoked or suspended, and a statement as to whether or not the applicant has been convicted of a felony. And if there has been a conviction, a statement of the nature of the felony and the restoration of civil rights, the applicant may not use a fictitious or assumed name other than a nickname on an application for commission. The application shall be maintained by the Department of State for the full term of the notary commission. The notary public shall notify in writing the Department of State of any change of his or her business address, home telephone, business telephone number, home address, or criminal record within 60 days after such change. The governor may require any other information he or she deems necessary for determining whether an applicant is eligible for notary commission. The Department of Law Enforcement shall charge a fee of $15 per application for a criminal history records check payable from the application fee prescribed in this subsection. Each applicant must swear or affirm on the application that the information on the application is true and correct. Okay, and that takes you down to line 72. That whole section, lines 22 to 72, has all been removed. An amendment to delete it all. So the Senate bill did nothing about felonies. The House bill addressed the felonies, but then it amended it and removed it. So you have to call the House and the Senate, call the various committees who have been handling this, and make sure that that you complain about it. It's unacceptable for them to say it's okay to be a felony, to be a convicted felon in Florida, or to have a felony record in Florida, and still just anybody can be a notary public. Now, depending on, obviously, you'd go into what the issue was and whether somebody had been rehabilitated, if you want to call it that. But why would you let a person convicted of multiple fraudulent transactions and the real estate fraud and all those other kind of things, why would you let that person be a notary? They should not be a notary, but the state of Florida wouldn't know. They have no clue. And they don't care. I mean, somebody cared enough to write it up in this House Bill 407, but then they flushed it right out. They said, no, we're not going to do that. I don't know whether they're scared about the revenue they might lose, or they just don't, who knows? I don't know why they, with the exception of the obvious revenue that they would think they'd lose on the $15, why else would they remove that clause out there to not require a background check? I think it's despicable, and people need to complain about it. And then again, there's other changes out there in reference to law firms who have notaries working for them and who owns those documents. And like I said, this was mentioned to me earlier, and I really had not thought about it. But any kind of notary stamp or seal, that is a state commission. It is not the property of a law firm. They want to keep a copy for their own records, fine, go for it. But it's not the record. It's not the property of the law firm. That would make no sense either. So you have Senate Bill 172, House Bill 407, notary publics trying to cut back or to tighten the rules on the fraud of notaries. And there has been some progress I'm not going to say there hasn't been any progress, because requiring the journal is a step in the right direction. But when it comes to the felonies, the felon notaries, they've done nothing. Absolutely nothing, and we need to complain about it. And I would appreciate if you call Todd Ulrich at Channel 9, WSTV Channel 9, contact him and tell him you're outraged by this too and see what else he's doing on his investigation of it. Because this isn't right. We got to keep pushing for them to not allow this to happen. The other thing, which actually let me check one other thing real quick here, where there was some information about the Florida, or about the National Notary Association. They provided some information. Let's see here if I can find it. I've been going through this information so much, I should know exactly where it is, exactly what it was saying. The National Notary Association was talking about the level of fraud in the state of Florida, which is targeted. They target elderly people. They target elderly people and also people who do not speak English or speak English poorly, I should say. Here's what it says. Listen, I'm reading it right off of the Senate bill analysis. The National Notary Association reports that in Florida, notary misconduct is especially prevalent in fraudulent real estate transactions where the elderly and those who speak English poorly are targeted. Notary misconduct is punishable as a third-degree felony or second-degree misdemeanor. But the fact is they don't do it. they don't take any action against the notary fraud. And not, at least not in the cases I've seen. And that's been a big part of the issue. And then according to DOS, Department of State, there are 400,432 notaries registered in the state as of January 14, 2014. In 2013, the governor removed 12 notaries from office and suspended 46 others. Okay, so out of 400,000, over 400,000 notaries, in the year of 2013, a total of 58 were in some way removed or suspended. 58. Not very many. As of March 5th, 2014, 28 notaries have been suspended, 2 have been publicly censured, and none have been removed from office during 2014. So, you know, this idea of suspension, this is the other game to this. It really is such a scam, and the state of Florida is doing nothing to protect your rights. This, again, to say that, you know, this is a start making the journal out there, but they've done nothing about the notary felons, the felony notaries, felon notaries, whatever you want to call them. They've done nothing on that. They started to, and they said, no, we're not going to do it. And I think that's even a bigger sign when they went out there and put in the language of the House bill about criminal background checks, and then they amended it. They deleted it out. The amendment came through to the bill and said, no, we're not doing that. That is even worse than if they totally ignored it. Because there they said, yeah, it was identified as a problem, but we said we don't care about the people of Florida. That's what they said. So you have to get involved, contact the committees involved with these two bills, Senate Bill 172, House Bill 407. Contact them and contact your own state representative and senator and say this is wrong. We need more tightening of these notaries. The state of Florida is failing to enforce the law, which seems to be a growing pattern in our country today. What is the rule of law? When does illegal mean illegal? Have you noticed that? That's another problem we have with public policy in Florida as well as nationwide. Illegal doesn't matter. It's not a crime to be illegal. Illegal is not a crime. There is no rule of law. Kind of nutsy. Now, the other thing I was going to mention, which is another biggie here, is the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority. Now, I have got some names and numbers for you. This is Senate Bill 230. Senate Bill 230. the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority, and Senator Simons is the one who put this in there. Senator Simons definitely knows about the corruption, the culture of corruption of the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority, but obviously he's in this for something else. You might want to call Simons and ask, why are you doing this? I have definitely sent emails to him, but I haven't got a response. But I sent global emails to the different committees. There's three committees working on in the Senate side, and you have to go and look at the House side. But on the Senate side, the three committees that are reviewing this, Transportation Committee, Community Affairs, and Appropriations. And so the last action was 3/20/2014 was the last action taken. And again, you can go out to the Senate site, pull up the bill, 230, and you'll get all this information. Then I'm reading the summary kind of thing that they have here on this page. The Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority renaming the Orlando Orange County Expressway System as the Central Florida Expressway System, providing for the transfer of governance and control, legal rights and powers, responsibilities, terms, obligations to the authority extending to 99 years from 40 years, the term of a lease purchase agreement limiting the authority's authority to enter into lease purchase agreements, removing the authority and the criteria for an authority to waive payment and performance bonds for certain public works projects that are awarded pursuant to economic development programs, etc. In some place in here, and they want this to all effective immediately. Once it's become law, it's effective immediately. Not like it'll become effective in so many months after. It's effective immediately. And this gives the Central Florida Expressway System now has control over all of the region. Regionalism. And it's just the wrong thing to do for so many reasons. First off, the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority is corrupt beyond recognition. I mean, the culture of corruption, back from 2009 when there was the big to-do about Alan Keene, a developer. Here you have a developer who's on this, the chair of this board, who's there for personal financial benefit. You've got people on a quasi-government board who are financial stakeholders in the decision this board makes, and they get to vote on what they want to do. Totally unethical, total corruption. And there was a lot back then. You'd have to go through, and you can go out there and do a search on grand jury determines Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority. It's a culture of corruption. Bribery. In fact, if I get time, I'll go and I'll read part of the article that the Orlando Sentinel did on it. But it has always been a culture of corruption. This is because it's a quasi-governmental board. The people are not elected to that board to represent you. As it stands today, the Orange County Mayor, Teresa Jacobs, is automatically a member of the board. Not truly elected to the board, but is the only person who's elected at all. The rest of the board members are appointed from the state. So it's a quasi-governmental agency. People who are not elected are voting on this type of public policy and making these kind of rules, raising toll taxes. It's corruption. Total corruption. And so you have got to contact these three committees and their chairs, and I've got the information here, so please get a pen or pencil and paper. The Florida Senate Transportation Committee, their phone number, 850-487-5223, 850-487-5223. The chair is Jeff Brandes, and that's B-R-A-N-D-E-S, Jeff. He's the chair. His district office is 727-552-2745. Community Affairs Committee, 850-487-5167. 850-487-5167. And the chair of that committee is Wilton Simpson. And district office 727-816-1120. Fax number is 263-4821. The Appropriations Committee, this is again the Senate, Senate Appropriations Committee, 850-487-5140, 850-487-5140. The chair is Joe Negron, 772-218-1665. That's 772-219-1665. His district number is 850-487-5032. And the fax number is 772-219-1666. And again, you can go to the Senate bill page, put in Bill 230, and get all this information. But this all empowers the culture of corruption. And a quasi-state agency who's been involved in corruption over the years and is being investigated now for inappropriate action, violation of the Sunshine Law. And there's three people that I believe are being brought in front of the grand jury. Three of the board members are being brought in front of a grand jury, as I understand it. But there's this investigation. Jeff Ashton is doing this investigation, and there was going to be grand jury hearings. Violation of the Sunshine Law, and this is all in violations to the firing or ousting of the, well, there's no director now, but who was the director? Matt Crummett. So the corruption continues, and they want to give this agency more power. That is totally nuts. It's nuts. It's like, okay, so you know they're corrupt. They've been proven to be corrupt. So let's go ahead and give them more power so they can be more corrupt. That's okay, right? Hey, that's a little bit more corruption. What's it going to hurt if instead of it being strictly the Orlando-Orange County Expressway Authority, let's let them take that whole Central Florida region. That's what they're telling us. These people are not working on our behalf. Contact every one of them. And when you go out there, you can click on the Transportation Committee, and you need to get a list of the senators who are on that Transportation Committee. I did send an email to the Transportation Committee. I have sent a couple of emails on different committees for this issue. I'm going to be sending more, but you need to send them, and you need to call, too. We can't just say it's okay to be corrupt. We can't say, no problem, bribery's okay. Yeah, sure, what's wrong with a little bit of bribery? You're telling, and just keep in mind, the amendment the state has out there for a land grab, they want to spend billions and billions of dollars buying land, but they don't want to fix the roads, and they want to hand over this culture of corruption to control the roads. It is so corrupt and unethical in every way. They show that they do not work on behalf of the people. These people in Tallahassee do not care about the people of the state of Florida. They are doing whatever they can to line their own wallets and get reelected. They don't care. There is no way they could let this happen if they cared about the people. So please call, email, fax, the whole thing. And let me check one other thing here on this. I'll check a little bit more information for you. When it comes to writing to your state senator or your representative, it's a basic email format. They don't, you know, you can go to the individual's web page, their government web page, and you can submit an email via the online submission which is what they prefer to do because then they get to sort and play all sorts of games with it there. But you can also go out there and send it directly to them. And in just a minute here, I'll have the list of their addresses. And it's the same format for the Senate and same format for the House. But I want to say it to you correctly. So, and again, I've sent so many of these, I should know them by heart, but I'm going to make sure I say it correctly for you. And then I'm going to read part of this bill that says the grand jury. This is Orlando Sentinel. Grand jury, toll road agency cloaked in corruption. This article was February 28, 2009, by Dan Tracy. A culture of corruption permeated Greater Orlando's toll road agency for years because contractors of the agency were continually hit up for political contributions, said an Orange County grand jury report released Friday. The main fundraiser, according to the report, was former Chairman Alan Keene, a Winter Park developer who resigned in 2006 after 4 years on the job amid a scandal over how the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority managed its money. Now see, Alan Keene, a Winter Park developer, he was voting on public policy that he had a financial interest in. This is called a conflict of interest. But see, the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority doesn't care about that. And neither do the locals in this area. I mean, you can ask Darren Soto, Senator Soto, you can ask him. Victor Torres, you can ask him. You can ask Andy Gardner. Andy Gardner's always been a promoter of this kind of garbage as far as I'm concerned. I've never seen him stand up to defeat any kind of corruption. And Simmons, which is, I believe, in Seminole County, he's always been a promoter of this. These people that are right in this area, they know about this corruption, and they don't care. They just want contribution funds. They want the land deals. It's so corrupt. The whole thing is so corrupt. It's disgusting, and the last thing we need is for the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority to be over all of Central Florida. Major regionalization, major corruption. Let's see what else on here. Manage its money. Keene's attorney, Robert Leventhal, maintains his client did nothing wrong. There was no culture of corruption, Leventhal said. They can use those words, but there was no culture of corruption. Yeah, right. Give me a break. It's a grand jury. There was definitely a culture of corruption. There still is. The 7-page report, sealed for 16 months at Alan Keene's behest, was opened only after changes included the removal of quotation marks were made to satisfy the noted Republican fundraiser. No criminal charges have been filed against him as a result of the grand jury investigation, which took place during a 4-month period in 2007. An expanded list. Although much of what was released Friday has been reported previously in the Orlando Sentinel, the report revealed new names and details about the depth and the breadth of the fundraising tactics employed by Keene and others. For instance, Keene raised far more than previously thought. $468,000 for 18 characters, candidates. Characters, candidates, same thing, the report said. Among those receiving money were Orange County Mayor and current Authority Chairman Rich Crotty, U.S. Senator Mel Martinez, Republican Florida, former U.S. Representative Rick Keller, Republican Orlando, former State Representative Randy Johnson, Republican Celebration, Seminole County Commissioner Mike McClain, and Orange County Commissioner Bill Siegel. Such activity, said the Orange Osceola State Attorney Lawson Lamar, may be legal, but it sure as heck isn't right. This is why these things, they're not working for you. They don't care about the individuals here. They do not care about Floridians. They care about getting reelected and scamming any kind of money deals they can. They don't care. Time and time again, you realize this government is not working in the best interest of Floridians. It's out there all over the place. And again, I'll go back to Amendment 1. They want to spend billions and billions of dollars on buying up real estate, but they don't want to fix the infrastructure. And then they want to hand off this authority to this unelected group or this quasi-governmental agency with a bunch of unelected people who are not obligated to anyone. Teresa Jacobs is part of the culture of corruption, as far as I'm concerned, of all the garbage and the lies she's done. I will never vote for her in Orange County. But right, it's going to be sad because I don't know that anybody's even running for Orange County mayor. I'm not sure who else is out there on the ticket. Val Demings, I believe, was out there, but I'm not sure if she still is. I haven't kept up, but I need to go out there and look. But it's disgusting. These people, they are so evil. Mayor Jacobs violated the Sunshine Law right there in a public meeting where she was texting special interest, getting advice on how to block a referendum by a group who wanted to require small businesses to have sick pay. I did not agree with the referendum. I would have voted no. So make that perfectly clear. I would have voted no. But these individuals went through the process correctly to put the item on the referendum, and Jacobs, Patterson, and Jennifer Thompson all corrupted the process, all violated the Sunshine Law. They're all still sitting on the Orange County Commission. Corruption. Orange County is corrupt. Period. You can't trust anybody in Orange County government. Period. Yeah, let's see here. The report said Keene used two contractors to fetch money for him, Ron Pecora, who held the agency's marketing contract from 1994 to 2006, Bob Paulson, a PBS&J, a major transportation contractor, of Tampa, which has been the authority's main engineering consultant since 1982. I mean, I won't read the whole thing, but this is what's in it, and you can go out there and look and read the whole thing. The whole point is it's corrupt. The Orlando Orange County Express Authority is corrupt. Period. Not a if or then, it's the fact. Deal with it. And we cannot allow them to give these people more authority. We cannot allow. We have to stop Senate Bill 230. And I was listening to one of the live hearings last week when one person on the board says, what is the status of the investigation at the Orlando Expressway Authority? Or he makes some reference to this investigation and to the issues with it. Oh, that's all been taken care of. It's not a problem. That's not true. And the fact that something like that has happened just this recently means you should not be expanding the power of this authority. So we need everybody to call every one of these representatives and tell them no. No to Senate Bill 230. No to expanding the power of a quasi-governmental agency. No unelected, non-elected board should have this much power. So you've got to get involved. You have to get involved and say no. Do not let them pull this crap. If they do, we'll have to sue them because they are causing financial harm to us and they're harming the quality of our life. They're causing unnecessary increase of cost of living and they're doing this all to line their own wallets. Toll roads by themselves are an excessive abuse of tax, and there's other ways to raise funds, raise revenues for highways if you have ethical people working in the best interest of the people. But right now, we don't have too many of them. Some of these people in Tallahassee I don't know as well, haven't seen around as well, and they may not truly know of some better options. They may not have ever thought of what the better options were. So a toll road just seems to be the perfect answer, and the brainwashing of a user fee and all this other nonsense. But I have sent an awful lot of information to the Transportation Committee, the Senate Committee, and I also sent it to some of the people on the House Committee as well, saying there's other ways to fix transportation if you care about doing the right thing. And public-private partnerships are nothing but a culture of corruption. The collusion of the government and the private sector is corruption. And that's what happens with public-private partnerships. That's why the state constitution says the state of Florida, no agency of the state of Florida can go into a for-profit business with the private sector. And that's what that is what these public-private partnerships are. They are a for-profit venture, and the state is involved. More corruption. Florida transportation is so corrupt, it's not funny. I mean, you could take what's happening in Florida transportation, use that as the case study, and know that that's the way this whole state is run. Corruption, corruption, corruption. They work against the people. Totally, totally against the best interests of the people. It's outrageous. And it's up to us to demand that they change. And speaking of the Expressway Authority and transportation, you can go out there to the Florida Transportation Commission. There is a, as they call it, a Citizen Oversight Board. Citizen Oversight Board. And there's a link you can go to the, because everybody on this Citizen Oversight Board is hand-selected by the governor slash appointed. You go to the governor's webpage and see where it says appointments, and there's a questionnaire you can fill out to become a member of the board. I am going to be filling out that form in the near future myself. I started it, but I hadn't finished it, so I got to go back. Citizen Oversight Board. Okay? Let's see how citizen oversight these really are versus cronies of the governor. Go out there and fill out an application so you want to be considered for this board because transportation is so hosed up. And let's see what happens. The more the merrier. The more people that go out there, seek being assigned to this board, appointed to this board, let's go out there and let them know. And we have got to put a stop to these quasi-governmental public boards. We elect people to do the business for us. They keep outsourcing it to a third party who can do whatever they want. This is the same thing with EPA and the Department of Education and some of these other various, and there's many of them out there. It's like, wait a minute, we elected you to make the decisions for us, but you're going to say, oh, we're going to go give this committee or this board, this public board over here, we're going to just give them all the power and they can do what they want to. No. They're not accountable to anyone. The EPA is not accountable to anyone. These people aren't elected. And yet they're going out there making laws, just like the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority is out there doing, making its own rules, charging as much as they want in these taxes. And this is on top of the other things the state wants to do when it comes to putting vehicle miles traveled. They want to put a GPS device on your car so that they can charge you per mile, on top of all the tolls, on top of all the gas tax. They're scamming us. It's a fraud being perpetrated on the public. I sent two documents to the Transportation Committees, to the Senate Transportation Committee, and then I also copied some of the House representatives as well. And one of them is the true cost of toll abuse. This is something I put together a few years ago. What it really means, who's really impacted, who pays. It doesn't matter whether you drive or not. You're going to sacrifice because of toll roads, because everybody's cost of living goes up, and your disposable household income is going to go down because you got to spend a couple hundred bucks a month in toll taxes. So let's be realistic. Let's talk about what it really is, okay? So that's what toll taxes are. Toll is a four-letter word for tax. It's a tax increase. Anytime the state of Florida and this governor goes out there and pretends that he's reduced our taxes, that's a lie. Every time they go out there and cut one tax someplace else, they just increase it someplace else. They haven't cut any taxes. So that's BS. And then the other document that I included to them was the limitations of public-private partnerships. And it even goes through how, you know, if done right, public-private partnerships could be a good thing. But they lend themselves to corruption. They lend themselves to political favoritism and selection, political decisions versus what's in the best interest of the people. It's a very good document. If you'd like to get a copy of it, I can email it to you. Just send me an email, AmericanStatesman@1791.com. So it's AmericanStatesman@1791.com. And just put, a request on the subject line, request toll road information, public-private partnership information, and I will email it to you. That way you'll have a copy of it and you can read it. Very good information. And, again, I've sent this all over, and I'm going to send it more. Before the week is up, I'll be sending that to several more committees. And I'm hoping, if nothing else, and making phone calls, too, we get enough people in there to put a halt to this Expressway Authority expansion. It's corrupt. It's corrupt as it is. They don't need more power. They should never have this much power. In fact, let's see here. Okay, let me look at a couple of things here. See if I can give you just a little bit more information. Okay. If you want to send emails to your senators, now, excuse me, you can go to the senator's webpage. There's a online page that you can fill out and send it to them. There's also a directory of the Senate. It has all their email addresses in it. But basically, it's going to be their last name, period, first name, period, web. So in the case of Darren Soto, it's soto.darren.web@flsenate.gov. Okay, so it's lastname.firstname.web@floridasenate.gov. So you can send an email to them directly that way. That's the same for all of them. And then when it comes to the state representative, just do the first name dot last name at myfloridahouse.gov. Here it's first name dot last name at myfloridahouse.gov. That's the format to send an email to all Florida representatives, House representatives. So now you've got both options to send it to the Senate, senators or to the representatives. And, of course, go to the webpage. Do an online email or look into the directories. The directories are all out there, and they have their email addresses. I also do send faxes. They tend to hide their fax numbers, so sometimes you have to go digging for those. And let's see. I was going to make this a little bit of a short show tonight. Let's see, what was the other? The other thing is the state of Florida has chosen to totally ignore the will of the people when it comes to Common Core. This has, I'm sure, a lot to do with John Ellis Bush, Jeb, as you know him, John Ellis Bush, after really promoting Common Core education. But Common Core is communism. It's the indoctrination of the next generation of Americans. It's a matter of training them instead of teaching them. They're not teaching them to think. They're not teaching them to be individuals. They're training them. They're indoctrinating them to be one of the peasants, one of the serfs. And this is what the Bush family is known for. It was Prescott Bush who aided Hitler. And you can go out there and look this all up. This is history. I don't make this stuff up. Prescott Bush aided Hitler. George H.W. Bush signed us on to Agenda 21. W. Bush signed the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, also known as the North American Union, which dissolves the borders between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. He signed that in 2005. It was supposed to be enacted in 2010, which is part of the reason why they're doing nothing with the border. And he did this all via executive order. And then Obama has continued on. But the Bush family is known for this, and then you have John Ellis Bush out there pushing Common Core, the indoctrination of our children, and also out there saying that Latinos are more fertile and we need them. We need illegal immigration. We need amnesty for the illegals because we need more workers. Where was everybody complaining about him saying that? That wasn't a racist comment. I don't know what was. It just amazes me how people ignore this kind of stuff. But that's what he was saying. It's outrageous. Totally outrageous. So it's up to us to stop all this. We have got to get involved. We have got to speak openly and loudly and let them know we're not going to be ignored. We're going to continue to pursue here in Florida the common law grand jury. You need to learn more, and I'm still learning about it myself. Common law grand jury, where we take over, we take back our rights. It's all, you know, fallen to the letter of the Constitution. And these people have to be taken out of office for their corruption. We've got to do it. We have got to do it. And these issues I just mentioned today, vote no on Amendment 1, which is nothing but a Florida land grab, totally affecting and risking your property rights. Stop Common Core education, the indoctrination of the next generation, communism. You know, people say, oh, you can't say that. Be honest. Seek the truth. Face the truth. And then we can take back America. If we refuse to seek the truth and face the truth, we can't deal with what we can't solve the problem. Florida notary publics, they're notaries public. They're out there. It's a license to commit fraud. Two bills, Senate Bill 172, House Bill 407, they both require the notary to keep a journal to be accountable for their record keeping, which is more than what's been done up to this point. They haven't had to do anything. They just carried around their stamp with them and signed whatever they felt like signing and stamping it. So this is taking some action to make them more accountable, but it does nothing to address the felony issue. It's okay to be a notary public and be a felon, a convicted felon and be a notary. Somehow you're given credibility to go out there and sign documents, even though you may have been participating in fraudulent transactions all over the place. That's okay. You can still be a Florida notary public. You can still help participate in creating more identity theft. You're still allowed to go out there and create more fraudulent property transactions. You're out there signing fraudulent wills. That's okay by the state of Florida. And in the thing, as I stated earlier, a Senate bill never addressed the felony issue. Todd Orrich with Channel 9 did an in-depth report of how many felons are notaries today. How many notaries are working behind bars? Notarizing documents behind bars. How crazy is this? You've got these people notarizing legal documents that will be held legal in a court if you don't do like I did and totally fight it. And they say that's okay. The Senate bill does nothing to address the problem of the felons, felony notaries. The House bill did address it, violations in there. It was tightening on background checks, but then they amended it and deleted the whole part. They deleted lines 22 to 72, which all went into tightening the restrictions, the qualifications to be a notary. Why did they do that? That is a bigger sin than the fact that the Senate bill never even addressed it. The Senate bill act like they didn't know about it. Oh, felons, we didn't know that. We ask them. We say, hell, have you ever been convicted of a felony? Are you a convicted felon? Oh, okay, that's nice. Sure, no problem. I mean, that's the Senate bill. which is what it reads today, whether your legal qualifications for being a notary, it's okay to be a felon. But here the House bill actually addressed the problem to tighten it up, and they said, oh, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to ensure that there's honest people doing this. We're not going to take any precautions to make sure that the background check is done so that these people who are participating in all this notary fraud can't do it so easily. No, we're not going to stop that. So you really got to pound on the House members even more so than the Senate. But the Senate should be doing something about it. I mean, and because they're both wrong. There should be criminal background check as a very basic criteria for these people to be officers of the state signing legal documents. And on that note, that is where, well, let's see. Oh, well, let me go ahead and finish. I was going down my hit list, the notary fraud, then the excessive tax, the stop the expansion of the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority, that stop Senate Bill 230. The Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority is too corrupt as it is and should not be allowed to take control or be empowered over the whole region. These people are not elected. No unelected board should have that much power. And this is, we're talking over highway infrastructure, something critical to the area, to the region. And by this is also part of regionalism. And they also are given the power to generate even more excessive taxation of toll roads. Stop the excessive taxation of highway infrastructure and toll taxes. There's ways to raise revenues at a minimum and benefit everybody, but that isn't what our government's interested in doing. They're only interested in lining their own wallets, making sure their own campaign budgets, or they're lining their own wallets for their campaigns, getting reelected. They don't care about the people. They don't. Fire every one of them. Fire every one of their sorry you-know-whats. Oust them all. And the other thing with this Expressway Authority, it will create even more public-private partnerships, which are nothing but the collusion of government and the private sector. This is corruption. Read the book, The Limited Limitations of Public-Private Partnerships. It's not really a book, it's an article. But Limitations of Public-Private Partnerships. They invite corruption. They invite political favoritism. They are not working in your behalf. They're selling us out. They're selling the people out for their own financial benefits. Lord only knows how many offshore accounts there are out there where these people are really making their money, or if their family members are making money. No telling. But you can be sure. These people always get wealthier. They go into public office and they get wealthier. Thomas Jefferson said he left office with no more than he went in. His personal wealth had not increased at all by being in public office. And that's what it's supposed to be, because it's supposed to be public service. Public service, not self-service. But these people today, self-service, they will sell us up the creek just as fast as they can so they can make a buck. They do it to us every day. Transportation is one of the biggest pieces of corruption in the state of Florida. I don't know that any department, with the exception of possibly EPA, is more corrupt than transportation. And stop these quasi-governmental public boards. We should never allow these kind of boards. It's citizen oversight, true citizen oversight boards, yes. And I'm not talking about the ones where the governor appoints them. I'm talking about a true lottery-type thing where different people are allowed to participate in this oversight board to do audits of the financials and things like this. So there's true public input, true oversight by the public, not by the governmental gurus, cronies. And these people are not elected to do this job. We elect people to make these decisions. These boards should not be allowed. They are allowed to take over and do whatever they feel like with no accountability to us. Corruption. Corruption, corruption, corruption. They sell us out, they sell us out, they sell us out. Period. It's wrong. That's all there is to it. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Okay, on that note, I'm going to see and play just one song for you at the end here. And we'll call it a night. And please tune in tomorrow to American Freedom Watch Radio, and Thursday to Smart Talk with Sherry Smart and Neil Rife. And Thursday we're going to have a Libertarian candidate, Adrian Wiley. We really got to push Adrian Wiley against Rick Scott. Since the GOP is determined to promote Rick Scott against the will of the people, we have to get somebody else. Adrian Wiley, I like what he says. So let's. I want to learn more about him, but there's no way I'd vote for Rick Scott. I can tell you that. I wouldn't vote for him. I won't vote for Charlie Crist either. I'll vote for a no-party affiliate before I vote for either one of those guys. And if enough Floridians would do that, we'd get rid of them. We'd shut down the corruption of the political parties. But it's up to the people to do it. So on that note, let's play My Name is America.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and oppressed. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger. And I'll rise up. And I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. My strength was not taken from others. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for. I respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand for. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll be stronger. And I'll rise up from the flames. And I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America. Don't tread on me. America is my name. For those who need me,
God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, the pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
Hey, it looks like we have a caller out there. You're still there? Oh. Well, caller, if you're still out there, please call back in. I was trying to put you through. Okay, I see you there. Let's try this again. I'm trying to open the mic for you right now. Okay, there we go. Last four digits, 4982. Can I get your name, please?
Yeah, my name's Ed.
Oh, hey, Ed. Tonight? You, I think, called a couple weeks ago. Yes.
Oh, I did? Yeah, I might have. Yeah, that's right. You're the ones that are fighting for it. Actually, we've got Sunwell that's going to be opening here right in Orlando. And it's going to be open on May 1st. So, I mean, I remember when I first moved down to Florida in 2000, all of my family's been down here. My parents been living here since 1980. There was a big move in Axe the Tax because they wanted to open this thing up back in 2000. So 14 years later, politicians never gave up, but I guess the people did.
Well, the people truly didn't. Governor Rick Scott gave up. You could call him that, but the people didn't. I was fighting that back in the days of Mobility 2020. I fought that, and it's Congressman John Mica. This has been him all the way. And what John Mica did is he told Rick Scott he wasn't going to approve the funding for the Miami port if he didn't approve the scam rail. I call it scam rail. I don't call it sun rail. I call it scam rail. And
it's a scam.
So that was all. Yeah, it is a scam. It's total corruption on behalf of Congressman John
Mica. It's like the red lights. We call them scammer us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the red light cameras or scammers. You know what I mean? The red light scammers. Because the same thing. It's
scammers. Yeah. And they're supposed to be passing, so Trump working on legislation to limit them so they can't put any more in, but I heard something about Orlando's putting in Orlando, Orange County. There's six more going in this week or something. It's anything they can do to rip us off. It's I don't know if you
yeah,
know the
well,
first part of the show.
The battle's going on. I don't know if you noticed in this Flannel this week, or the last week on Thursday, had about the Apopka Red Light cameras were fighting heavy, and they're rethinking their position now. And Chris said, you know, we forced them into a runoff election, and we're going to be out there Saturday the 5th, and the election, the runoff election on Saturday, or Saturday, April 5th, and then Tuesday, April 8th, this runoff election with Bland and his opponent. I got finished third against Red Lights, and I was fourth candidate, but we threw it into overtime, and we're hoping to get the Red Lights out of Apopka. They are rethinking their position. We're going to keep pressing them, and then we're going to move down
good.
And work a lot in Winter Park area.
Good. Well, please keep me posted, because as I told you before, I'm right here in Orlando, and I'm sick of it. I talked about it last time, but I was talking about in the earlier part of the show, I don't know if you heard the first part, when I was talking about the Senate Bill 230.
Senate Bill 244 is the one that actually puts gets rid of red light cameras, but and that was up last week also. And I'm not sure.
Well,
I think they're still discussing that one, but what's Senate Bill 230 deal with?
230 is expanding the authority of the Orlando-Orange County Expressway Authority. They want to make the Orlando-Orange County Expressway Authority over this whole region and taking over Seminole County, Osceola County, I think even Volusia County, the whole region. They want to.
Yeah, you were telling me about that, and I remember talking to you. So it's a good thing I found you.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I talked to you on your Friends from Bocas site when I called last time. It wasn't on your site.
It's still American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, but I let her have a show, American Freedom Watch Radio. I let her do her segment on Tuesday, and then I have on Thursday, it's Smart Talk with Sherry Smart and Neil Rice. Smart Talk is about the elections, getting to know your candidates and stuff. So I've been giving some time to other people to do some of the stuff, too, because I can't do all of it anyway. I work full-time. So I
I try to get active where I can. So basically you are in the Orlando area and you're fighting these issues. And so look for your station and try to get more people involved with it. You know, I got a lot
definitely.
Of friends out there.
Definitely. And if you want to be a guest on the show to address one specific subject, or you got somebody else you want to come on, or a candidate, you know, just let me know. Send it to American, I think I told you, AmericanStatesman@1791.com.
Oh, that's right.
That's
I was telling you 1791 was the year they ratified the, is that why you picked 1791? Because they ratified the Bill of Rights then?
Well, Bill, Glenn Beck is doing this. Glenn Beck, this is his secure email, but if you're subscribed to Glenn Beck, the Blaze TV and all that stuff, you get an email with them.
Yeah.
So I use that. That's where that came from. So whenever you see 1791.com,
American Statesman. So that wasn't your picking 1791. That was Glenn Beck's pick.
Yeah, I wanted to use that. Yeah, yeah. I actually
American
have
States.
A website at American Statesman. It's M-A-N, not men. American Statesman.
Yeah, right. American Statesman.
Right.
M-A-N.
Yeah, M-A-N.
At 1791.com.
Correct.
Okay.
And I have
a
website out there, too, AmericanStatesman.org. But I haven't done any updating on it lately because I just have not had time. I need to go out there and update it.
Okay. And you know about the Florida site that's the there's the LPF, the Libertarian Party of Florida. And there's also a new one, Citizens. I'll have to get back to you on that one. But there's I just seen it today. It's a great website, and it's trying to bring a coalition. I think it might be Florida Citizens Coalition or Florida Citizens something. But it's basically trying to get everybody on one site that they can go to find out all the different issues.
Well,
there's a lot
good.
Of issues. Yeah, there's a lot of issues going on right now. And my one friend is definitely would be interested in speaking on your, he's running for state representative here and his, I'm helping a campaign. It's basically keep Florida strong. Actually, I know a couple, another young guy is running for state rep also. And then, you know, we have our Libertarian candidates, of course. So there's a lot of people that are out there battling. Saturday I was at, I don't know if you went to the meeting for Stop Common Core. It was at Lake Underhill, the Baptist Church there on Lake Underhill.
I was going to go. I had planned on going. David Barton was going to be there. I had planned on attending.
I didn't get a chance to see David Barton. I left at 12, but I did get to talk to Karen from the Heritage Foundation. She's actually the state coordinator of the Heritage Foundation.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good thing there. And you do know about
Heritage Foundation, you gotta watch for them.
Well, there's a lot of good about them.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's any organization is going to have some bad. But, I mean, they're basically, they pass out the Constitution. If you pass out the Constitution, you're all right in my book.
You can't be all bad if you're doing that, that's for sure.
What's that?
I said you can't be all bad if you're passing out the Constitution.
Right. If you're passing out the Constitution, that's more than they do in the public school systems. You know what I'm saying? You got to look at it that way. You know what I mean? They're moving in the right direction. Because the Bill of Rights is really where our freedom's from. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to the human race. So we can't let that down. You know, we got to keep standing strong with the people that support the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I think the Heritage Foundation, I mean, they might have some flaws here and there, but they do a pretty good job, and I've kind of passed out quite a few of their constitutions they get. So, you know, people that pass out the Constitution are all right in my book. And to stand up for
Well, them. And speaking of passing out the Constitution, I was at the Publix there on Chickasaw and Curry Ford on Sunday, and there were some Cub Scouts doing something out front, raising some money. And so I handed them some constitutions. So I hand out constitutions all the time.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing to do. You know, I mean, that's really great. What organization do you work mostly with? Are you just kind of an individual sovereign that's just out there fighting for the Constitution?
I work with a lot of different groups. Back, I don't know if you remember, GOOH, get out of our house.
Get out of our house now. Yeah, I worked, you know, I helped pass out some of their things, you know, and they were pretty big right when the Tea Party was beginning, you know, like in 2009, 2010.
Yeah, I did a lot of work with them back then. I wish they would kind of try to reformulate that part, you know, because it was a good idea, just it was really sad. Tim Cox, he had been on Fox News, and they said the lights lit up all over the place after he was on talking about it, and then they never interviewed him again because the Republican Party sure didn't like it.
Well, sure, because you know what? I mean, really, there ain't much difference between the Republican and the Democratic Party. That's why I kind of back, like I said, Wiley and the Libertarians, because they are more the anti-federalist party today. I mean, I was telling you, I'm more of an anti-federalist.
Adrian Wiley, just so you know, Adrian Wiley is going to be on the show this Thursday, the Smart Talk. They're going to have him on for the first hour from 7 to 8.
Oh, yeah?
Definitely tune in. 7 to 8.
7 to 8. I'm going to try to tune in. Although this Thursday at 7 o'clock, although I might try to get it together, I'm going to Claremont because Lake County, well, I'm going to try to be there anyways. It's Lake County is forming a libertarian meeting for, you know, starting a county branch. You know, we have one here in Orange. We have one in Seminole. In fact, we got a very active Seminole. I would urge you to go to LPF, Libertarian Party of Florida, and bring them to Seminole.
Well, I've been
county.
Involved with them in the past. I was involved a lot with them. In fact, at one point I got the weekly award with the statue that the Statue of Liberty thing, so I used to be involved with them, and I had been sending some emails through to them, and then they weren't posting them, so I kind of stopped and said, I don't know what was going on with them. So I said, well, if they want to post
there's,
my
there's a
then.
Lot of different branches of it, but the Seminole County branch right now is doing a lot of work. We got a businessman. If you go to LPF and then bring up the links, bring up Seminole, look at their website for the Seminole County. and in Seminole County, you know, we're trying to stop that tax. They spent $500,000 to spend a special election in May, and they want to raise a tax from 7 to 8. They'll put a penny tax on, which, you know, to them,
that.
Oh, it's only a penny. A penny? Come on. Are you talking to anybody who rents things, anything? You know, pretty soon the cost of the tax is going to be bigger than the price of the good if we let them keep doing this. You know what I'm saying? This is ridiculous. They want a penny tax. But anyways, if you go to LPF, Libertarian Party Florida, .org, and bring up Seminole County, you will see on there, you know, things about that particular tax, but also we had a nice interview because one of our members is actually demanding that Orange County give up all through the Sunshine Act, Channel 9 interviewed him, and that interview is right there when you get to that page, and you know, and Channel 9 dug into a little deeper, but you know, from the Sunshine Law, we want to know all the tickets. They're going on in Orange County. We want a list of them all because we want to see where our money's being spent and going out to this foreign company out of state. And now Orange County clerk of courts are going crazy because there's so many red light tickets. We don't want to give them that information. You've got to give them the information. It's the Freedom of Information Act. You shouldn't be harassing the people so much. You understand what we're trying to do is, like, quit harassing the people. You're harassing the people so much. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's so many tickets. You can't give out the information. So that's
disgusting.
You know, and that's basic. That's if you go onto that site, you'll see that particular episode.
Okay.
And, you know, we got to keep pressing them. We can't let up
on
these
guys.
When
is the vote for that? When is the vote for that?
For the 1 cent sales tax, it's in May.
Yeah.
It's usually the second Tuesday in May. Most elections are the second Tuesday.
There's another Orange County charter. There's a vote on that in May, but I didn't think it was that soon. I thought it was like on the 25th or something, but I'd have to check the date. But I got to really dive into what this Orange County charter is because there's so much garbage in that. I don't trust Fred Brummer, Orange County Commissioner Fred Brummer. He's the one who came up with it, so. I want to go
and what's the charter for
that.
A charter school? Is it a charter school?
No, they're changing the Orange County charter. They want to add two more people to the Orange County Commission. They want to get rid of the county tax collector. They want the sheriff to be elected differently. There's all sorts of stuff like that in it. There's a lot of stuff, and I really have to study it. And I really do want that to be the topic of next Monday's show, that Orange County charter. So I got to do some homework this weekend.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. So I'm going to have to tune in to them because we got to share this information. There's a lot of stuff going on. Like I said, there's, you know, I was at that meeting. It was great. There was probably 500-600 people at the Soft Common Core. I mean, that's Common Core. I mean, those people are, you know, that are running Common Core. You're talking Big Brother all the way. You're talking.
Oh,
that
definitely.
And it's being fought on every level. We got to stop these people. You know, and unfortunately, they run probably the people who are running Common Core are also running the NSA. You know, they hear every
yeah.
I mean, how many people can you hire? And what are they going to monitor? What are they going to try to do? Bust all the people? You're all busted because you're thinking against us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, it's you know, how many people are the NSA going to listen to? And what are they going to do about it?
Yeah.
That's where I come from.
It's just
because, you know, most people out there now, or at least most thinking people that are aware of the Constitution of the United States and understand that there's a Bill of Rights, if they have that much knowledge, which is probably only about 25% of the people, if that, but are opposed to what they're doing. And they're opposed to Common Core. They're opposed to Obamacare. They're opposed to the NSA, you know, they're opposed to these rails, they're opposed to these centralization of power, and, you know,
and
it's like,
opposed
that's
to Amendment 1 here in Florida, that crazy Amendment 1 where it's nothing but a land grab.
Yeah, anything about land grab, anything, you know, I mean, it's basically that eminent domination, they're standing up against, wait, that's not your land to take, You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. Yeah. And our children aren't your minds to take. We're not going to say, wait, we're going to let the federal government decide what our test is. We're going to let Obama and Gates decide what our children should learn and what course they should be on, and let them peg our children and all their information to all the other government agencies. It's madness.
It is so disgusting.
It's sheer madness, you know. And you know, the people there, like I said, it was a great attendance Saturday. I'd say we had 500-600 people there.
And I was going to go. I had every intention of going, and then something else came up, and I wasn't able to go.
Well, yeah, that happens sometimes. I mean, there's stuff going on almost all the time. Like you said, Thursday, they're going to have Wiley on. And I've met Wiley a few times. I like him. He's a pretty cool guy. You know, Snitaker was actually him. They have a station, 1787, a radio station. In fact, if you go on to that line, I told you about going on LPF. If you go on to the Seminole County, they now broadcast 1787. And Wiley and Snitaker, they're both libertarians, run that particular radio station, 1787. And they always, they're broadcasting on that particular line. But you go to 1787.radio.com or something like that, I think, pick up too. Snitaker, they're partners with him. He just did a great book on, it's just a little pamphlet book on how to work your precinct, get people involved. So my friend Frank, who I might get on your show here, he's running for
Congress. Are you talking Frank Perez?
No, that's Franklin Perez. You know Franklin Perez?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was actually at the last Libertarian Party. But a lot of people have a lot of problems with him because he's a little way out there. But, you know what I mean? He's, you know, Libertarian.
Well,
he's
honest about his position. I interviewed him. He's been on the show. It was a couple years back now when he was running last time.
You know what? I hadn't seen him for a few years. He didn't really remember me. But I remembered him. I just saw him at our last Libertarian meeting I was at about 2 weeks ago. And he's a pretty crazy character, yeah. But, he's actually running Republican Party. I mean, it's like, yeah, whatever, you know. I try to get him to go Libertarian. Because, you know, I'm basically looking at the Libertarian Party or the Constitutional Party are the closest things to the anti-federalists. You know,
I would totally agree with that.
And because, you know, they're the same, the Democrats and Republicans. They're both deeply federalized.
Yeah, it's a melting pot. They all run under whatever party they think they can more easily get elected and all those.
Right,
Chris,
is there a difference between Chris and Scott? Do you really want to go vote for one of these two idiots? They're the same.
I'm not voting for either one of them. I would not vote for either one of them.
I know. It's just like, I mean, it's like they're politicians for the sake of politics. And that's the problem.
It's all a game to them. I'm down to 4 minutes of the show. I wanted to make sure I mentioned the other thing, which I was talking about at the beginning of the show, too, was the Florida Notary Public. There's two bills on that. It's Senate Bill 172 and House Bill 407. Todd Ulrich with Channel 9 did an investigative report. And it started with my case back in January. So if you go out there to WF and do a search, you'll see he's got three segments on Florida notary fraud. And you'll see some of the information that I put forward on that one. So I actually
What's going on with the notary fraud? They're like pretending they're notaries and doing the documents up?
No, it's worse than that. There's felons who are, in fact, official notaries for the state of Florida, and they're in jail. There's no oversight of these notaries. They can sign anything. In my case, my father, there was a fraudulent last will and testament filed in Orange County Court, and I was able to prove the notary seal was fraudulent on it, but they don't do anything about it. So I went to Senator Darren Soto, and he put the Senate bill in 172. Now the House bill is out there. But Todd Ulrich, you go out there and you do his watch his three segments on it. He aired the very last one he aired today at 5 o'clock, and it's what they're doing to clean up all these felons. Literally, people in jail are notarizing documents.
Wow.
This is how bad it is. And Florida is number one in identity theft and property theft, and this is a big part of it. So that was just one other thing real quick.
Are you going to post that on your website?
I need to get it out there on my website. So far I've had information on the show, and I've told people about it with WFTV, but I have not had a chance to get it posted on my site, but I need to do that. So.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So anyway, that was one other thing, and we are literally down to a minute and a half here. So any last quick words before we have to call it a night? Now, thank you for calling in.
Well, okay. Anybody in the area that's listening, there's going to be a meeting at the Crooked Spoon Restaurant in Claremont for the starting in the Lake County Libertarian Party. So if you're interested, 7 o'clock, be there. We're meeting up. And it was good talking at you, and I'll talk at you again, and I'm going to get my buddy Frank on your show. He's actually running for state representative in the district of 47, which is basically from OBT to Orange and right up to the courthouse and down to Sand Lakes. So it's really
great.
Like this south central thing, and I'm working with him on his campaign, and, you know, he's going to be going at March 31st, this Sunday, they're going to have a big SunRail thing down here at South Orange, right where I'm at right now, across my brother's business. But at the south end of the new station, they're starting on May 1st, the SunRail station. And if you come out, you can learn more about how you're going to be ripped off and how this
thing's going to work. Yeah, how many ways can we be ripped off? Going to be a good
how many
trade.
Ways and how much, you know what I mean, they're going to charge $2 for a $150 fare, you know what I mean, because when you add it all up and how much it costs to run a thing, who's going to pick up
it's
the $148?
This was all to do with John Micah getting money for his friends at CSX, and I mean, he's corrupt too, you know.
Yeah,
anyway,
well, you know what?
To.
All right, well, anyways, good talking at you. I'll talk at you again, and you can have the last 30 seconds on your program.
Okay, thank you. And everyone, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling in, Ed. We will definitely be talking more. And on that note, please be involved and face the facts, seek the facts, face the facts, and we'll be going to take back our country. On that note, God bless America and good night.